carried to the grave with honor. Chapter 89. On the evening of this eventful day, a few Jewish rulers again go to Pontius Pilate. As usual, they do not go inside, but Pilate must come out to them. You can be sure this Roman governor did not have a pleasant day. He surely thought about the Son of the Gods. The darkness of 3 hours undoubtedly had caused his superstitious heart to tremble with fear and anxiety. The earthquake had renewed the terror within him. And now, as the sun is declining toward the west, the Jews come to Pilate to ask him if he will take away the bodies of the crucified persons. It was not the custom. Usually, these bodies would hang on the cross for many days. But because of the Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, beginning at 6 o'clock, the Jews request for this time that these crucified ones would be taken away. Pilate gives permission, but because the crucified ones are not yet dead, he sends an officer with a few soldiers to the hill of crucifixion. They must give the crucified ones a last death blow. These rough soldiers hasten to Golgotha. Soon they stand before one of the murderers, who is still alive. They break the bones of this wretched man, and death comes to him immediately. They do the same with the other murderer. It is not so bad for the murderer who had been converted by God. At once he is delivered from his painful suffering, and his soul goes to eternal glory. It is a great advantage for him. He had prayed, "Lord, remember me, and when thou comest into thy kingdom." Upon that Jesus answered, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That happens now. His soul ascends to the heavenly kingdom, where a place has been prepared for him by the Savior. When the bones of both murderers have been broken, the Roman soldiers go to the third crucified one, to Jesus. With a few forceful blows, they will crush his bones too. But when they look up at him, a look of surprise comes upon their faces, for they notice that Jesus is dead already. They look at each other and momentarily hesitate. They need not break the bones of this crucified one. No, it is not necessary. One of the soldiers raises his sharp spear and forcefully thrusts it into the side of Jesus. These heathen soldiers do not have any respect for a dead person. This spear thrust puts a gaping wound into the body of the Lord Jesus, from which a stream of blood and water gushes. That is an infallible sign that Jesus really is dead. If he were still alive, only blood would have flowed from the wound. But now that blood and water come from the wound, the Roman soldiers do not hesitate, for Jesus is dead. There is no possibility of a doubt. They leave the hill of Golgotha and hasten to Jerusalem to inform Pontius Pilate that the crucified men are dead. Even though the soul of the Lord Jesus is in heaven, in his Father's hand, still his heavenly Father watches over his body. God had commanded in his laws that the bones of the Paschal Lamb should not be broken. Neither is a bone broken of the true Paschal Lamb. In this, Scripture also is fulfilled, which says, "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." Besides this, you must look up Zechariah 12, verse 10. We read there, "And they shall look upon me, whom they pierced. All boys and girls, all things are fulfilled, word for word, which have been foretold about the Lord Jesus. Truly, he is the Messiah, the long-promised King of Israel. A man walks through the streets of Jerusalem in the direction of the palace of the Roman governor. Soon he stands before that building, but he hesitates. Probably he walks back and forth before that house a few times, and still each time he returns to the same place. Is he waiting for someone? No, not that. Suddenly, with firm determination, he climbs the steps of this palace and goes inside. His wavering is gone. He has taken a firm stand. We read in God's Word, Mark 15, and he went in boldly unto Pilate. Went boldly. Although at first he may have hesitated to go, when he once makes the decision, he does not waver for a moment, but walks resolutely inside. He soon stands before the proud Pilate. Pilate looks at him questioningly. He thinks, what does this Jew want again? Gradually, he is getting tired of that continual harping. This man asks Pilate for the body of Jesus. What does he want to do with the body of Jesus? Who is this man? Ah, you already know who he is, don't you? Tell me. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. He also is a ruler, a member of the Sanhedrin. He did not consent with them in sentencing Jesus to death, but voted against it. Secretly, in his heart, he is a disciple of this despised Jesus. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. But he didn't say it. No, he didn't dare to. He was afraid of the wrath and the scorn of the other members. Still, he had the courage to vote against it. But now that Jesus is dead, and seemingly everything is lost, he asks for the body of Jesus. Why does he do that? What does he want to do with the body of Jesus? Well, he cannot endure the thought that afterward the body of Jesus will be buried with the bodies of the two murderers in the same hole in the ground. Love and respect for the great prophet of Nazareth dwelt in the depth of his heart. Now that Jesus is dead, this love is not gone. Although grief fills his soul, he still would like to do something for this despised and defamed Jesus of Nazareth. He will give him a respectable burial. For that reason, he asks Pilate for the body of Jesus. He anxiously waits for the answer of the governor. Is Jesus dead already? Pilate asks in surprise. He quickly calls the centurion and asks him if it is true that this Nazarene is dead already. The centurion says it is true. Well then, the governor says to Joseph of Arimathea, you can have the body of this person. This distinguished Jewish ruler leaves the palace of the governor greatly relieved. Joseph of Arimathea buys fine linen and hastens to Golgotha, where Jesus had breathed his last. Another man is climbing the cursed crucifixion hill. Who can he be? Look intently. I am sure you will recognize him. This man is Nicodemus. Nicodemus also was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. You remember that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night to speak secretly with him, don't you? We told you this story in chapter 13. At that time, he purposely came at night so the Jews would not see him. At that time, he feared the ridicule and scorn of the other Pharisees. Now, his fear is gone. He now lets it be seen openly that he honors and esteems this despised Nazarene highly. Love for this reviled prophet also dwells in his heart. He bought 100 pounds of spices. He also will pay his last respects to the dead one. These two rich, distinguished Jewish rulers come to Golgotha at the same time. It is highly probable they did not know it of each other. They did not agree with each other to do it, and still both men have come for the same purpose. Both have a heart full of burning love for the King of Israel. They no longer concern themselves about the scorn, derision, and contempt of the Jews. God's ways are wonderful. God brings them together so they can help each other. See these two men standing at the foot of the cross. Their hearts are filled with a strange respect, and when they look at this beloved dead one, was there also shame and grief in their souls, because they did not profess him before the people sooner? That is known to God only. And they helped each other with this heavy task. Very carefully they pull the long nails out of the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus. They carefully remove him from the cross. After that, they wrap the body of the Savior in the expensive fine linen. The spices which were bought and taken along by Nicodemus are spread by handfuls between the linen. They do that so the body of Jesus would not decompose so quickly. They do not realize that the body of the Savior will not see corruption because Jesus was without sin. Because of sin, the bodies of dead people decay in the grave. Didn't the divine sentence ring out, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return"? But Jesus had no sin. His body will not see corruption. Finally, they are finished. What must they do now? Where must they bring this body? Nicodemus does not know. Probably he looked at Joseph of Arimathea questioningly. However, Joseph of Arimathea knows of a place. He has a grave nearby, which he had hewn out of the rocks. It is still a new grave. It was never used. This grave is undefiled, for nobody ever lay in it. The body of Jesus will be buried in this grave. He will sacrifice everything for his dead master, even his nice grave. Together they carry the lifeless body inside and carefully lay it down. With combined strength they roll the heavy stone before the entrance of the sepulchre so that the wild beasts cannot come inside. With bowed heads, they return homeward. What transpired within their hearts? How many questions came up in their minds? Questions upon which they could give no answer. Profound dejection filled them. No, they could never suspect that it would have turned out like this. A few women, disciples of the Lord Jesus, who also followed him and who supported him with their goods, stand by and see all this. They saw how the body of their beloved master was taken from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. And they saw how his body was wound in fine linen. They also saw where it was buried, and these women also returned to Jerusalem with hearts full of sadness and melancholy. Life has become empty for them. Jesus is dead. So you see, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus had a respectable burial. It is true, while he lived, he was reckoned with the transgressors. But now that he is dead, he is laid in the grave of the wealthy. word for word, it is fulfilled what Isaiah had prophesied. He was with the rich in his death. Night is falling rapidly. The sun has gone down behind the hills, and darkness begins to spread itself over the earth. And this eventful day is ended. It has become quiet in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea, where the grave is located. No sound is heard. Are you sure? Be quiet. Footsteps are approaching. Who is coming at this late hour? Oh, just look. A few Roman soldiers are coming. What are they going to do at this place so late at night? The centurion walks to the closed grave and seals the stone. No one may break that seal. Whoever would attempt to do so would be severely punished. Why do they do this? What is the meaning of this? The Sanhedrin meet with each other once more. Some think they still had a meeting that Friday night. Others say they came together Saturday morning. Oh, they still are not at ease. Suddenly they remember Jesus had said while he was alive that after 3 days he would arise from the dead. Those words fill them with terror. Oh no, that may not happen. Just imagine the disciples coming slyly to steal the body of this deceiver, and then they would tell everyone that Jesus arose. They tremble at this thought. If this should happen, it would be much worse than before. Do you know what? They shall take proper precautions to make such a thing impossible. Then the disciples will never be able to do this. They quickly go to the governor and ask for a guard of soldiers. Pilate, who is anxious to be rid of this continual harping, gives his immediate consent. This explains why these Roman soldiers are standing guard at the grave of Jesus. These stalwart soldiers watch the entire night. Do they sleep? No. When a Roman soldier is on guard duty, he never sleeps. Regularly, these sentries walk back and forth, back and forth. The dull sounds of their footsteps break the silence of the night. The Pharisees do not realize. By their actions, they pay the highest respect to the dead Jesus. Guards are placed at the body of a mighty king. Guards also are placed at the body of the King of Kings. And are the disciples really planning to steal the body of the Lord Jesus? Not at all. The disciples have fled, and they are scattered. They have forsaken their master. They are filled with fear and terror, with sadness and grief. No, the Pharisees need not be afraid of the disciples. They will do nothing. However, the consciences of these wicked rulers spoke, and for that reason they are afraid.